الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم افتح علينا بحكمتك وانشر علينا برحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue inshallah our study of the story of Musa alayhi salam, the reflections on the stories in the Quran that are related to our Prophet of Allah Musa alayhi salam. And today we start with a different aspect and a different story that's narrated only once in the Quran. This particular story of the life of Musa is only in one place, and that is in Surah Al-Kahf. And there is a hadith that is narrated in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim that gives us the background and the events of this particular story. This hadith is narrated in Muslim on the authority of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and in the in Sahih Al-Bukhari it's on the authority of Ubay ibn Ka'b. And it is considered as an authentic and a sahih hadith. On the in the Bukhari, and that Ubay ibn Ka'b said, and also one of the narrators of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that Ubay ibn Ka'b said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one time Musa alayhi salam was given a speech or admonition in the people of Israel, his followers. قام موسى النبي خطيبا في بني إسرائيل فسئل, and he was asked a question. أي الناس أعلم, which of the people has the most knowledge? Which of the people has the most knowledge? And موسى عليه السلام, knowing that he was the prophet of Allah, he was the prophet of his time, and he was given the authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver the message, he said, I am the most knowledgeable people of that time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who holds his prophets and messengers to the highest standards, admonished Musa alayhi salam. And the answer should have been Allahu a'lam. Allah knows who's the most knowledgeable person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa that there is a slave of Allah who is more knowledgeable than you. And Musa asked Allah, and this is all in this hadith, قَالَ يَا رَبِّي وَكَيْفَ بِهِ, how can I reach him? And Allah told Musa, احْمِلْ حُوتًا فِي مَكْتَلْ فَإِذَا فَقَدْتَهُ فَهُوَ ثَمْ, carry a fish in a bowl, and whenever you lose, the place where you lose that fish, that's the place where you are going to find that slave of Allah, that person who is more knowledgeable. So he went on, فَانْطَلَقَ بِفَتَاهِ يُوشَعُ بْنُ نُونَ. So he went on with a young man, a boy. His name was يُوشَعُ بْنُ نُونَ, Joshua. And they held a fish with them. They took a fish with them, and in some narration that fish was actually a cooked fish, and it was not a live fish. And they took it as their food, as their sustenance, as their dinner. So they take the fish with them, and they got to the place where there is a big rock, and they slept. And from here on we will continue the story in the Qur'an. So this is the background of the story, but the hadith actually goes on and narrates the entire story, and it goes into the details of the story as well. So we will go to Surah Al-Kahf, and we start with verse 60. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. And remember when Musa said to his boy servant, I will not give up traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas, or until I spend years and years in traveling. And that seems like we're having some difficulties with the slides. So if you want to follow along, we just need to go with the Surah Al-Kahf. The entire The entire verses, everything we have is all in Surah Al-Kahf. So if you want to follow with the Quran, that's where we need to go. And it is Surah Al-Kahf, and it's verse number 60 where we start. So, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مِجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. Musa told his servant, boy, I will not give up traveling. I will keep going until I either reach the junction of the two seas or I spend years in traveling. The junction of the two seas is the general place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed his prophet Musa to go to, and the specific place, the more specific place is when they lose actually the fish. And you see here Musa is saying, I will go to that junction of the two seas. And the ulama said, the scholar said, this could be either Bahr al-Rum or Bahr al-Furs, which is the Sea of Persia, and that's the Gulf, currently the Persian Gulf, and the Sea of the Romans, which is the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea was called at that time the Sea of the Romans. And some scholars it was the meeting point between Bahr al-Qalzam, which is the name of the Red Sea at that time, and Bahr al-Rum, which is the Mediterranean. So it's the junction between the Mediterranean and the Red Sea, which is the Sinai, an area in the Sinai Peninsula. And some others said it is that point of the Sinai Peninsula where the Aqaba Gulf meets with the Red Sea. So it could be that place as well. So there is differences about where exactly that point that Allah directed Musa to meet that righteous man. But Musa knew exactly where to go. And that's the important point of that as well, is Musa went into that general direction. The other important lesson in here, very important lesson in that one verse, and that's again verse 60 in Surah Al-Kahf, that the diligence in seeking knowledge. Musa says, I will keep going until I find that man, until I reach that point, أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا, or I can go on, travel and travel and travel for years and years. So you see here the understanding of Musa alayhi salam of seeking knowledge. There is really no other places in the Qur'an where we can see a prophet of Allah in the act of seeking knowledge. The majority of the stories that we have in the Qur'an are the prophets of Allah and the messengers of Allah teaching others. This is a sort of a reverse situation where you see a prophet of Allah, a messenger of Allah, in the action of seeking knowledge. And you see how diligent even a man of the stature, a prophet of the stature of Musa alayhi salam, of the knowledge of Musa alayhi salam, of the status of Musa alayhi salam, when he becomes an example and a role model in seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that tells us immediately from the very first verse of this entire story how important seeking knowledge is. Wa alaykum salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even commanded his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran about seeking knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, O Allah, increase my knowledge, or increase the amount of knowledge that I have. And Allah explained to us in the Quran and told us in the Quran that those who have knowledge are not equal to those who do not have knowledge. وَقُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Say, is it equal, those that they know and those who do not? It is not equal. Those who have knowledge are not equal to those who do not have knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Those who have remembrance, those who remember, those who have be admonished and understand the commandments of Allah are those who have knowledge. أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, those who have intellect. And we see here that Musa is practicing what the Prophet also sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the hadith, that seeking knowledge by itself is a worship, is an act of worship. And Musa said, I will not get tired, I will be tireless even if I have to go on and on, huqubah, for years upon years upon years, just in the acts of seeking the knowledge from that man. And the Prophet said in Sahih Muslim, as narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Those who walk in a path seeking knowledge, Allah would ease a path for them to get into paradise. Allah, by that effort of seeking knowledge, Allah will ease their way to get to paradise. So this is the one important lesson that we just derive from the opening of this story. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. But when they reached the junction of the two seas, they forgot their fish, the hoot. Hoot is a name for a whale or also for a fish. فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. And it took, the fish took its way through the sea as in a tunnel. It just right through the sea, without even deviating through the currents, without going back and forth, the fish right into the sea and went on. فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا. And when they passed that point where the fish jumped into the sea and went on, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ. Musa said to his boy servant, أَتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا. Bring us our food, give us our meal. لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. Truly we have suffered much fatigue, much tiredness in this journey. At that point, the servant boy says, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. He said, do you remember when we betook ourselves to the rock? So there was that point where they rested, and Musa was asleep, and the boy was watching, and here's that fish in the place that in the container that they had the fish in. So the boy is saying to Musa, أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ. Remember when we أَوَيْنَا, when we were resting at that rock. فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتِ. Then I forgot this fish. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ وَأَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. And none but Satan made me forget to remember it. So that's also another lesson we learn from that verse, that when people are forgetful and they forget things, Shaitan, Satan, the evil spirits, is part of the reason why we forget things. And it's always good when we try to remember things, is to remember and mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to take refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of shaitan. So then he said, وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. This boy said, and then this fish took its course into the sea in a strange and an amazing way. And that tells you how amazed was that young servant, but yet still he forgot that amazing incident. And that is a testimony to the work of shaitan that happened at that time. You know, an event like that cannot be just forgotten by a person who witnessed that. It's not an easy thing to forget. But he forgot because of the work of shaitan. And then he said, it was an amazing event. I did not tell you, but that's what happened. Then Musa, who was fully aware of the sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, that when that fish goes away, that's the point of meeting. That's where you meet that person. But Musa and his boy has already traveled further, right? Because he did not tell Musa immediately that I lost the fish. He only told him later on. So Musa said, let's go back to that particular point. قَالَ هَذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغِي فَارْتَدَّى عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. So they went back and they were tracking their own traces, their own footprints, their own tracks in the sand in that area, until they found a man. فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا. And Allah said, they found a slave of our slaves. They found one of our slaves. أَتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. We have bestowed mercy from us upon him. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. and whom we had taught knowledge from us. So Allah has bestowed His knowledge and His mercy upon this person. And then finally Musa alayhi salam met with this man, with this righteous slave of Allah. And in the hadith, his name is Al-Khadr. And he's a righteous man. He's not a prophet of Allah. He is someone that Allah has bestowed this knowledge upon. So now we go to verse 63. To verse 66. Musa started addressing this knowledgeable person of Allah. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Musa said to the Khadr, "May I follow you so that you teach me something of the knowledge, the guidance which you have been taught by Allah." هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Now who is the messenger of Allah? It's Musa. Who is the prophet? It's Musa. Who is the man that Allah spoke to directly? It's Musa. Who is the man that speaks to Allah directly? It is Musa. How is Musa addressing a person of knowledge? هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ? Can I follow you? See the humbleness of Musa before someone who is actually in reality should be below him, right? The best of creation are the prophets and the messengers of Allah. And everybody else is after that. So technically, this person should be subservient to Musa, right? Who is the prophet of the time? Yet Musa, before the knowledge, Allah is teaching us an important lesson in this verse. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ? The humbleness of the Prophet of Allah before someone who is seeking knowledge from. And that's how we all should act. We are all, inshallah, students of knowledge. We seek knowledge. And the people that we seek knowledge from, we should also show, if the Prophet of Allah, if Kalimullah, the one that spoke to Allah and Allah spoke to directly, is showing humbleness, how should we deal with the people that are, you know, with the people of knowledge? So we should always have respect to our ulama, to our scholars, to our imams, to our shuyukh, to the people that actually give us those knowledge, that Allah bestowed the knowledge upon them and they teach us those knowledge. And we should understand that aspect. We should be subservient to them and we should show humbleness before them. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. And the man answers Musa a very strange answer. Now here is he coming to seek knowledge and to learn from him. And he said, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. He said, "Verily, you will not be able to be patient with me." He said, "You can't be patient with me." And then he explained, he elaborated more. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا وَعَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. How can you have patience about a thing which you know not? You will see things that will amaze you. Now this whole atmosphere, the whole journey starts with an amazing miracle. A fish jumps out of a container that was supposed to be a food and then swims into the sea and it goes on. And he's telling them, "You have seen nothing yet." That the things that you're about to see will make you so impatient. You cannot tolerate the actions that you're about to see. Musa says, قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. Musa makes two promises there. He said, سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. If Allah wills, you will find me patient. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't ever say to anything that I will do this, except when you say, إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, inshaAllah. And Musa is practicing that adab with Allah. He said, سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. So he has the absolute intention. And Musa is one of the five prophets, أُلُو الْعَزْمِ. That they're of strong resolve. When he is saying that, he's not shaky about it. He really means, and he has more resolve than any human, person And Musa is saying, I will be patient, inshallah. So he is fully determined to be patient and not to object. And then he made another promise. He said, وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. I will not disobey you in anything you command me to do. I will not disobey in aught. Again, you see the humbleness of Musa. He is Musa. And the other person is a servant of Allah. And he said, I will be obedient to you. Just let me follow you and learn from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And then the righteous person, Al-Khadr, said, قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. He had only one condition for Musa. Only one condition. He said, when you follow me, then if you follow me, ask me not about anything till I myself mention of it to you. Don't ask me questions. You will see things that you may not like. You will see wondrous things. This whole journey started in that way. But don't ask any questions. So Musa agreed to that. He's already agreed even before the man said his condition. And what it is, he's telling Musa, alayhi salam, that there is, كَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. How can you find the patience to understand, to have the patience before things that you have completely no understanding of? There is no understanding. And if you don't understand events, sometimes you will not be patient. Now that is not the problem of Musa alayhi salam alone. Now you have to understand, we are reflecting on these stories now. We all have this problem. We cannot be patient. We don't understand things a lot of times. And that may get into our psyche, and we are not patient in front of events that we don't understand fully. Why does this happen to me? Why does my son have to get sick? Why is this? Why am I not, you know, passing this? Why am I not achieving this? Why is this happening to us? You know? And he's saying, كَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. You can't see the full picture. Only Allah sees it all. Only Allah knows it all. And we human beings have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the prelude to the whole thing, and now is the practical lessons. Now comes the examples that are about to come in this story to exactly illustrate and explain that one point that this man is saying to Musa. This whole lesson is about, you will have no patience with things that you don't fully understand. And that is a human problem. And that is the problem that we are facing in this story. So they walk on a journey and they are now together. فَانْتَلَقَى. And they both proceed. حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَا فِي السَّفِينَةِ. And they embarked on a ship. On the ship. And in the hadith that I mentioned in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, this ship, they actually got them, they allowed them to come on board for free. They gave them a ride. So these people, the navigators, the seamen, the ship people, they were so good to them. They were so good to Musa and to this righteous servant that they allow them to get on a ride for free. حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَا فِي السَّفِينَةِ خَرَقَهَا. And when they were on the ship, he scuttled it. He makes a hole in the ship. And Musa said, قَالَ أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرًا. How did you do this? Have you scuttled it in order to drown its people? I mean, here's that. The good people, they give us the ride. They let us get on the ship for free. And that's how you reward them? I mean, what sense does that make? There's absolutely no... You know, a human being cannot see any positive side in that. How can he do something like that? And the man responded, not by explaining what's going on. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Didn't I say that you will not be able to be patient? That you could not hold your patience with me? And then Musa remembers. Now, he had full intentions to obey. He had full intention to follow. He had full intention to remain silent. قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتْ. He said, don't forgive me. Don't call me into account for my forgetfulness. I forgot. He reacted. وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِ عُسْرًا. And be not hard upon me for my affair with you. So this one incident passed. Musa is still very puzzled for what happened. But he knew he cannot ask. So they went on in that journey. فَانْطَلَقَا حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَا غُلَامًا. So they met a boy. فَقَتَلَهُ. He killed him. Cracked the neck of an innocent boy. قَالَ أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. He, come السلام. He said, have you killed an innocent person who had killed none? This is a young boy, this is a child. And you're killing the child who committed no crime. لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرًا. Verily, you have committed a dreadful thing, a great evil that you have just committed. Now the man's response, you know, in the previous verse, he said, what did he say in قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا in the first verse. And in the second one, his response was even more firm. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. There is two letters difference between this verse and that verse. And those two letters are very important. It tells you a completely different tone of speech. Now the righteous man is getting more firm. He said, didn't I tell you, you will not be able to be patient with me? قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Musa is realizing what's going on. He is reacting and he cannot be patient, and the man is right. And he's already caught him twice on this. And then he said, قَالَ إِن سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهَا فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. If I ask any more questions, then you are free not to, you know, just don't be my companion anymore. Don't let me go on the journey with you. فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِنْ لَدُنِّي عُذْرًا. You have received an excuse from me. You're going to have to be completely excused. I have no excuse anymore if I do it a third time. Because he promised not to ask one question. And now he's already asked two of them. He protested twice. But the acts, brothers, are so overwhelming. I mean, who could have kept his silence? You know, making a hole in the ship, and the people have done nothing, killing a boy. You know, these are amazing. These are acts that are very hard to just watch. And then Allah tells us more in Surah Kahf. فَانْطَلَقَا. And they moved more. They proceeded. حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية. They got into a village. They came to the people of a town. Now, when you walk into a town, and this has been a tradition for the millennia of human existence, that it is, and they were walking across the Middle East, and it is like in many other places of the old world, is as strangers walk into a village or a town, they become the responsibility of the people of those of that village. The shelter and the food, providing the place to stay and providing the food, is the obligation of the people of that village. And actually that is an Islamic principle. Now if someone comes to a town of Muslims and they need shelter and food, and there is no mechanism and there is no volunteers to provide shelter and food for those who are in need of it, the entire people of the town are sinners. This is fardu kifaya. We have to provide that. If there is no other mechanism to provide it, it is our obligation to do it. Now, here they are. Now they're on the journey. They're tired. They're hungry. They've been traveling. They get into this town and they expect at least that. And they get nothing. Now, a guest should never ask for food or shelter. But they had to ask. They had to beg. فَاسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا. Now, that is by itself is an insult and gives you the psyche of those people, the people of the village. A guest should never ask. Yet they were asking for food and they're asking for shelter. اسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا. Yet they refused to feed them. فَأَبَوْ أَيُّضَيِّفُوهُمَا. And Allah said, not only فَأَبَوْ أَيُّطْعِمُوهُمَا, فَأَبَوْ أَيُّضَيِّفُوهُمَا. It is an obligation of those people of that town to make Musa and that companion as guests. But they refused. So what does that tell you about those people? They're mean. They're very mean people. They're very stingy people. They're very greedy people. They are bad people. Just from that one incident, from that one... And subhanAllah, this is the beauty of the Qur'an. Doesn't need to have a full page of description in few words. You get the full picture. It's a miracle, wallahi, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it is. فَأَبَوْ أَيُّضَيِّفُوهُمَا. So they go into a place, where do they sleep? They're not giving them shelter, they're not giving them food. And they walk into a deserted area, a deserted place, and there's a wall. And that wall is about to crumble. It's an old wall, it's just about to fall down. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَضْ. And Allah says, so they found they're in a wall about to collapse. So this righteous man, يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَضَ فَأَقَامَهُ. He goes on and he set the wall straight and he repairs the wall. He started fixing the wall. And Musa is watching that. I mean, here we are working for free for those mean people, stingy people. We are providing services for them, working for them, and they, at least, why don't we just ask for a bite? Can we ask for something in return? We are working in this evil town, and we are hungry, we are tired. Can't we ask for food? And he said, قَالَ لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. He gave a suggestion to the man. He said, لَوْ شِئْتَ, if you want, if you wished, surely you could have taken wages for it. Ask for something, you know, loaf of bread, something. We're hungry, we're tired. قَالَ لَوْ شِئْتَ لَتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. قَالَ هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. This is it. He said, this is the point of separation. This is the parting between you and me. Now, سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. Now I will explain to you the things that you were not be able to hold your patience from. Now it comes the I mean, you know, subhanAllah, the last event was, you know, the first two were evil acts. In their apparent, in their outwardness, right? And we know they're not evil because they were done by a righteous person, and we will see how. But the last one was an act of kindness, في غير محله, in a place that acts of kindness probably should not have occurred. Or at least it should not be a free act of kindness, according to the understanding of Musa alayhi salam. You know, you put the good things where good things should fall. And the way those people treated Musa and treated, you know, if you compare when we are studying the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how did Ibrahim treat his guests? And look at how the people of this village treated their guest. The guest of this village had to beg for food, had to ask for food, and they were not given food. When the three people that came to Ibrahim, who he knew nothing about them, هل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين. Ibrahim, when he was visited by his guest, Allah called him immediately مكرمون, honored guest. They come to an honored man. They walked into him and they say سلام. He knew nothing about them. قال سلام. He returned the سلام. قوم منكرون. He doesn't know who they are. He immediately went to his family and he brought a whole calf and put it in front of them. Without them asking, and they were angels, they don't even eat. But yet this is how you honor the guest. And you see the opposite, the exact opposite picture from those mean, stingy people. But that was the breaking point. That was the third question that Musa alayhi salam asked. And at that time the man said, now I will tell you. Now I will give you the explanations. He said, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working in the sea. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. So I wish to make a defect, a defective damage in it. Why? Why do you want to make a defect? Why do you want to put a hole in the ship? قَالَ. And then he said, وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. Behind them, waiting for them, in that next port, there was a tyrant king who will take every good ship. غَصْبًا. He will steal it. He will seize it. And in the hadith, not in the Quran, كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ صَالِحَةٍ غَصْبًا. He would look at the ship. He likes it. It's his. And who are those poor people to defend themselves? They have nothing. If they fell into the hand of that king, of that tyrant, they will lose their livelihood. That ship was their livelihood. That was what they had. All everything that this many people have. That was that ship. Fish on it, transport goods, whatever they do with it. But that was their only livelihood. And who protected them from that king? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most unexpected way, by making a defect, by putting a hole in that ship, Allah was protecting them. Who would have thought of that? Who, any of those poor people, if they had a defect in the ship, they would think it's a disaster. It's really something bad that happened to them. But who has the full picture? Who has the wisdom and the knowledge? Subhanahu la ilaha illa huwa al-alim al-hakim. And then the man goes on explaining. وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامِ. How about the boy? Understand the ship, you know. How about the boy? You killed the boy. He said, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامِ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ. His parents were believers. They were good people. فَخَشِينَا أَيُّرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. So we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief. Allah only has the knowledge to know that this boy is growing up to be an unbeliever, be a rebellion kid, a rebellion person. He will be someone who will oppress and abuse his own parents. Allah knew that. And Allah wanted better for them. This was the fate of this person. That he is not going to grow up to be a good man. And people do oppress their parents. People do abuse their parents. And some parents suffer tremendously. And when a parent suffers from the abuse of the children, they suffer twice. They suffer from the abuse itself, and they suffer more because it's coming from their children. This is a very hard thing to take. Allah wanted to protect those believing parents from this abusive tyrant, transgressor son. And Allah says, فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. And we intended that their Lord should change him for them, for one better in righteousness and better in mercy. Someone who is nearer in mercy. Allah replaced that. Allah gave them another child. And some scholars say it was a boy, some say it's a girl. Allahu A'lam. But Allah gave them a child that has mercy upon them, that is good to them, that is a righteous child. So did they lose anything? On the outwardness of it, lost a child. It's a miserable thing for any parent to lose a child. It's one of the hardest things ever. But Allah knows it would have been much harder if that child lived. And then becomes a source of misery and pain and harm to his own parents. So Allah replaced that child for a righteous one. Well, how about the wall? As for the wall, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. This wall belonged to two orphan boys in that village. Now there is an Arabic proverb, there is an Arabic saying, you say, أَضْيَعُ مِنَ الْأَيْتَامِ في مأدبة اللئام. There is nothing more lost, more miserable than orphans around the table of mean people. They get abused. Orphans are young people that have no protection. And if you put them in with mean people, then they are going to get the worst of it. Because these people are mean. Allah demonstrated for us how mean these people were. How stingy these people were. And now Allah says to us that that wall actually belonged to two orphan children. They are just completely, overwhelmingly out power in this town. Amongst the worst of people. كَانَ لِغُلَمَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. And there was a treasure under that wall that is buried and hidden for them. And there is a catch here. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And their father was a righteous man. So there is an insurance policy written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the righteous and the righteous children. If you are good with Allah, Allah will bring up your children to be good, and Allah will protect them, whether you're there or you're not. Allah is the protector. الله خير حافظا وهو أرحم الراحمين as Yaqub said in the Quran. كان أبوهما صالحا. Can't read that these few words enough. You know, we worry about our children. We want to protect them. We want to get money for them. We want them to get the best education. We want them to get the best of everything. Well, the best thing that we can do for ourselves and our children is to be righteous. And to deliver righteousness to them. That's the best thing. That's the best policy. And this is a story. This is a reality. This is what Allah is telling us to the believers. Look what happened. Allah will do it in its most unpredictable and the most amazing way. Just because their father was a righteous man, those two orphans who have no chance in that city, in that town, they were protected by Allah. And Allah sends people to help them. And Allah sends people to protect them. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا. It is the will of Allah that they will reach their power, their full strength. Now they're children. But the wall was about to crumble. And the treasure was about to be eaten up by those mean people. But no. Because the father was righteous, Allah sent someone to put that wall again up. Strong enough. So it would last maybe 10, 15 years. Until those small children are young, strong adults. And no one can abuse them anymore. أَنْ يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا. They will dig up that treasure themselves underneath from underneath their own wall. وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ. As a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. None of the deeds that I have done or my idea. None of that was me. Who was it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. It was not my commandment, it was the commandment of the All-Merciful, the All-Powerful, and the All-Wise. Trust in Allah. ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. This is the explanation of what you could not hold patience for. Salaam wa rahmatullah. This is, if there is no argument for believing in al-qada wal-qadr, more than this story and these verses, I don't know what is. You know, we sometimes don't understand why things happen. And Allah says, a lot of times you won't understand. Trust in Allah. Trust in the qada of Allah. And sometimes, I mean, things that are just so clearly in our vision can be wrong. I mean, can anybody understand why a young boy should be killed? Why a poor people would have their ship, you know, sabotaged? I mean, we said, why me? Why did that happen to me? I don't deserve this. Wallahi, I sometimes hear, you know, people just say, Wallahi, I'm always being good. Why is this happening to me? How do you know this is bad? You don't know what it is. We don't know what's good and what's bad. We went through the entire surah of Yusuf. And we will see bad events turning good and good events turning bad. Bad event, and then it was just going into a cycle. You know, good and bad is all relative. If we trust in Allah. And then we have to do what? To be patient. How many times the word patience, sabra, لم تستطع عليه صبرا كيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا. Be patient. Practice sabr. Especially with things that you may not fully understand. Allah knows we don't understand everything. Probably we don't understand most things that happen to us. So, is it good or is it bad? Allahu A'lam. وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِّ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. We test you with good and bad. And they both are trials. Fitna. They both are a test for us. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Are you going to have sabr? Are we going to have patience before these two? And this is clearly illustrated here. The knowledge of Allah is infinite. The knowledge of Allah is so vast. In the hadith in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, about this particular story, Musa was with Al-Khadr on top of the ship, on the deck of the ship. And a bird comes in and he dips its beak in the water and lift it. And then Al-Khadr tells Musa, this righteous man, he said, مَا عِلْمُكَ وَعِلْمِي وَعِلْمُ الْخَلَائِقِ فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مِقْدَارَ مَا غَمَسَ هَذَا الْعِصْفُورُ مِنْ قَارَةِ. The sparrow comes and dips into its beak into the sea, and Al-Khadr says, my knowledge, all this knowledge that you're amazed with, and your knowledge, and the knowledge that you have, Musa, and the knowledge of all creation, when it's compared with the knowledge of Allah, is as much as that little bird dipped out of the big sea. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have given none but a little bit of the knowledge. So whenever we think about that, we think about the knowledge of Allah and the power of Allah. Even the Prophet ﷺ, when he concluded this beautiful hadith, and again in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said, say it in Arabic first, he said, When the man said, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ, this is the point of separation, this is when we part. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالَ يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مُوسَى وَدَدْنَا لَوْ صَبَرْ حَتَّى يُقَصَّ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ أَمْرِهِمَا. He said, may Allah have mercy on Musa. I wished if he was just a little bit more patient, so we would hear more of this. We would hear more of these amazing things. We would understand more about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet did not have enough. But this was the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us that things would happen to us, and some things are good and some things are bad. And all of it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few comments, I think we're probably out of time, but some of the miracles of the Qur'an, of the bayani, of the language miracles of the Qur'an, are so beautiful in this surah, and I will just leave you with one of them. The word, when you translate the word istata'a or tastata'a, it's always translated as you can do this or you can't do that. It's about capability and ability to do this. But we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in three different ways in this particular story. When the first time he said, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعَيَ صَبْرًا أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعَيَ صَبْرًا. And then at the end, when he started explaining, تَسْتَطِيع means you can't be patient. And then when he started explaining to him, he said, سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. Not تَسْتَطِيع, بَلْ تَسْتَطِعْ. And then when he finished explaining, he said, ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. When the affairs were so difficult to understand, you know, making a hole in the ship, killing a boy, not asking for money for work, he was hard. And he would say, لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ, using the heaviest form of the verb, تَسْتَطِيعَ. And when he started explaining, he used the medium verb. He said, تَسْتَطَعَ, because it's about to be explained. It's going to get easier. And when he explained everything, the form of the verb becomes the slowest one, becomes the softest one, تَسْتَطَعَ. Now it's so easy to understand. Now you can understand. Now you can be patient with it after it's all explained to you. And you see, every single word in the Quran cannot be replaced with another word. Every verb is put right exactly where it should be. And nothing, you know, no human being can pay attention to those details as they speak and they talk about all of these things. So that's just one of the things, an additional comment just as a testament to the miracle of the Quran. وَمَا أُتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And we have not have gotten out of knowledge except very little. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His knowledge upon us and to give us patience, even if we don't understand those events around us, but to give us the patience to cope with it, to deal with it, and to give us the trust, to trust Him. حَقَّ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with this knowledge and to benefit us with the Qur'an and to benefit us with the hadith and the seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَيَا فَوْزَ مُسْتَغْفِرِينَ.